But God, who is rich, unlimited in His mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, He made us alive. We who were spiritually dead, He made alive. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. We hope you're having a great Friday so far, and we appreciate you tuning in. On today's program, Pastor Bill concludes his message, The Way We Were, from his continuing study in the Epistle of Ephesians. Now, let's join the study.
I don't want to be an enemy of God. John, the apostle of love, in 1 John 2:16, he goes on and says, for everything or all, it's all, that means everything, all things that are in the world, it says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust therein. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever. Listen. Why, before we came to Christ, why did we live like a dead person? Well, look at the scripture in verse 2 again. It's because someone was dominating us, someone was controlling us, but we didn't know it. He's called, it says, according to the prince of the power of the air, or literally the heavenlies. Now, who is the prince? He's the devil, amen? Yes, but listen to me now. He is the prince over everyone that is spiritually dead. He is the prince over all that are unsaved. He's the prince over all of mankind that is alienated from God, and he has been during all history. Do you understand? Boy, this guy, he's the power. The word power there means authority. He's the authority of the air. Now, I don't know. I don't want to get technical with that, but I believe it probably is. He's confined to this atmosphere in a way. He works in this area above us or whatever. I don't know, but I know one thing. You know, he's defeated. Amen? Yes, because of Jesus Christ. Now, with all that being said, this authority of the air, if we went over to Ephesians 6:12, we would find out that he has that authority over what? That demonic realm, his demons, if you will, his fallen angels. Now, he is the prince of unseen powers. That's why he's called darkness, the prince of darkness, if you will. Unseen things. He's kind of like the coronavirus. You know what I'm saying? We don't see it. We don't know what state it's in right now. We get reports later on. We don't know where it's drifting around. But you know what? A demon is always looking for a host. They are parasites. Coronavirus is a parasite. They're waiting for someone to achoo. We want none of it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Wash your hands. Amen? That's right. But it's like the coronavirus, these demons floating around. But the Bible says that the wicked one touches us not. The Bible says in 1 John 2:14, we are strong, and it tells us why we're strong. For the word of God abides in us, and we have overcome the wicked one. Greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world. Amen. But here they are. They're like those little coronaviruses. You know, corona means crown. Did you know that? I don't know anything about this beer, but Corona beer, have you ever heard of that? Their sales are plummeting because the dead, I'm not drinking that. You know, they're looking for a host. Oh, man, listen, they are so wicked. Listen. Look at this. He's not only the prince of the power of the air. Look at this. He is the spirit who now, present tense, in every generation, but right now the same. Now, he works in the sons of disobedience, those that are dead, those are spiritually dead, those that are alienated from God. The word work there means it's he energizes. He loves to work in sons of disobedience. Now, listen, don't misunderstand that. That doesn't mean that Satan himself personally does that, although, yes, maybe in a few people, who knows. But we have to remember that Satan is not God. He's not anything like God. Do you understand? He is defeated. Jesus, he defeated the principalities and powers. He triumphed over them in it, meaning the cross. Amen? Yes. However, he works in those sons of disobedience, but he's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. So what does he do? Well, he's got this heavenly host of wickedness. He's got these demons, these fallen angels, and they love to prey upon humanity. Oh, listen, they love that. They actually labor to deceive people. And he works, he energizes, he works in sons of disobedience, those whose nature allows that to take place because they're spiritually dead. Satan never takes a day off. He never rests. He is always looking for a victim, as it says in 1 Peter 5:8. He is always looking, going to and fro, looking for someone to devour, amen, to ruin their life, to kill them, or whatever he wants to do. Now listen, we know how he works. The Bible says in 1 John 5, 18 and 19, it tells us, he starts out and he goes, we know that we are of God. I love that, don't you? We know. It's not that we guess. We don't, or hope so. We know we belong to God. But the whole world, the position of the whole world, lies in the sway, the arms, the cradle of the wicked one. He's working all over the world right now. Amen? How does he really work? Jesus told us in John 8:44, he says this. He says, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. Boy, he did. He murdered the entire mankind with what happened in the garden. And he says, and he doesn't stand in the truth. Listen carefully. And the reason? Because Jesus said there is no truth in him. When he, the devil, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar. He's the father of it. Satan is the father of every lie that has ever been told for all time. Of every false religion, of every cult or occult. That he is the one who put it all together, and he works hard because he's an enemy of truth. He's an enemy of God. He's an enemy of love. He's an enemy of marriage. He's an enemy of hope and mercy. He is a deceiver. He's not only a murderer, he's the author of death. And every graveyard should be named after him because he's the one responsible. Loved one, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Transforms, masquerades, or disguises himself. You know what Satan does? He takes vile, filthy darkness, and he makes it appear as light. Think about that. What an incredible deceiver. He calls evil good and good evil. He knows exactly how to do all of that. You know, we live in a world that is so training us. We live in a tech-savvy world. I am horrible about that. This morning, I printed off those copies to try to save Melinda and them time because I got here early and, you know, about the coronavirus things, that the handouts. I know that I made it two-sided. You know, when you print, they didn't do it. They don't want me to ever touch the copy machine. You have to put a code in. Well, you know what? I might put anything in. And it doesn't really matter, but I did it all wrong. But we live in a tech-savvy world. I'm not tech-savvy, but we live in a world, we're so dependent. I mean, if we're really honest, we ask Siri about questions now. We go to Google and type in our questions. We don't go to books anymore. How many people ever heard of Will Durant? Elizabeth! You probably never heard of that either. The greatest historian that I have those at home. Man, and I was actually studying out Ephesus and all the things that were happening that the Bible doesn't talk about in Will Durant's history of civilization. You see, we're so connected now that we just, hey, Siri, what time is it? I don't have my cell phone, so she wouldn't answer now. But we live in such a modern time that most people don't believe that Satan is even real. Now listen to me. That's exactly what Satan wants. Yes. Lord, was that you? Say, this sermon is no good, Bill. Go get something else. You follow me? That's what he really wants, loved one. No, listen. He is so subtle. I didn't know it. You didn't know it. And the dead people right now, spiritually dead people, they don't know it. But you know what Satan did before we were saved? You know what? He ruled us. And we didn't know it. And he even persuaded us at the same time that we were not being ruled because I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. Listen, let me tell you how wicked he is. And I'm not trying to talk a lot about the devil, but this is where we are, loved one, in our text. He is so bold and so wicked that he even told the spotless Son of God, Jesus our Lord. He said, if thou be the Son of God, here, take that stone. You hungry? All right, 40 days is a long time. Here, turn it into bread. You know the story. That's how bold he is. Oh, listen. Satan is working, and he works in the sons of disobedient. Now, listen to me. But here's the deal. He wants every person, dead or alive, to become a son of disobedience. Why? Because Satan loves those who are spiritually dead. Why is that? He gives energy to dead things. He loves to work with a dead mind and a dead heart and dead hopes. Do you understand? Oh, he can feed that. He can energize those things. And here's what he really loves and adores. He loves to see those that are chosen, accepted, blessed with every spiritual blessing, sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He loves to see made alive Christians act like dead, hopeless, lifeless, what they used to be instead of what they are now. Do you see how important it is to know the Word of God and know the doctrine of God, who you are in Christ Jesus? Listen, Jesus told us in John 10:10, he said, you know, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, but the thief, the devil, he comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. I know that he does that in so many different ways. But his main goal is not to destroy the unbeliever or even the believer. That's not his main goal, believe me. His main goal, loved one, is to have every person, every religion, it doesn't matter to him. Dead people, spiritually alive people, he wants to dominate them. He wants to control them. He wants to abuse them. He wants to use them. Why? Because he wants all of humanity to do something. It says in Revelation, 13:8? It says, and the whole world will worship him. The whole world will worship the devil. That's what he wants. He wants our worship, our admiration. That's exactly what he wants. You say, well, Bill, are you sure? Yeah, you remember what he did to our Lord Jesus Christ? When he had that face-to-face meeting, he came up and he said, then the devil, taking Jesus up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to Jesus, hey, all this authority I will give you and their glory. I will give it. Why? Adam is the one who gave it to him. He said, I'll give it to you, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Read it. In Luke, you'll find out that Jesus did not dispute what he said. And he says, therefore, Jesus, if you will fall on your face, if you will lie prostrate right now before me, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. That's what he really wants. But he's not going to get it. We're going to see him thrown into the lake of fire. We're going to see death thrown into it as well, along with the false prophet and all those who loveth and believeth and makes a lie, those that are cowardly and unbelieving, loved one. Not only that, look at verse 3. It says, and among whom, meaning the sons of disobedience, those that are dead, among whom also, watch this, we all, Paul included himself, he says, we all once conducted ourselves, meaning our lifestyle, in the lust of the flesh. Meaning, we lived, that was our lifestyle. We couldn't help it. We were not born from above. And you know what? That was that old man, the slave in me who wants to rule, who was in Adam, and we were in Adam. It says, oh, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires. That is such an important word, the word desires, because it literally means a desire in the Greek here. It means a desire that comes from the emotions, a desire that is swayed by our emotions rather than reason. It's that desire is an urge to action. I must have it, whether it is good, whether it is bad. It says fulfilling the desires of the flesh, the desires of the mind, that unrenewed mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others, meaning the rest of mankind. Now listen, these three verses are incredibly vital because it tells us what we were. Never forget that. What God has saved us from. Amen. He says, we were by nature children of wrath. Nature means by birth because of Adam. In other words, we were heirs of God's wrath, heirs of his indignation. The Bible says in Romans 1:18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed or manifested from heaven against all ungodliness. That means sins against God. And it's manifested against the unrighteousness of men. That means sins against men, man. Man sinning against man. Who suppress the truth in knowledge. So the wrath of God is his ongoing, active, personal indignation, feeling hatred, if you will, against sin. God is holy, holy, holy. And everything that comes in his presence has to be holy too. You know, God doesn't hate the sinner. God hates sin. Amen. So we need to understand that. Now listen, I know that there are those when we talk about the wrath of God, they go, Bill, now the wrath of God is something that's in the past. Well, of course it was. You had the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, all that. And others would say, well, but the wrath of God is also in the future. That's true. Read the book of Revelation. There is a time of darkness coming to this planet, the great tribulation period. It is a horrible, horrible time. But did you know that God's wrath is also actively present tense? Past tense, future tense, but also present tense. Listen, the main theme of the New Testament, of course, is the love of God. John 3:16. Come on. However, the mission of Jesus was to do something as well. To die for the sins of the world, to be forsaken by God, but also to endure God's wrath that we deserve. Amen? See, the Bible says in Romans 5:9, much more than having been justified by Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from the wrath, meaning the wrath of God, through Jesus. We'll never experience the wrath of God. Matter of fact, first, I think it's what Thessalonians 1:10 or whatever, 9, right in that area, it says that we have been delivered from the wrath, God's wrath to come. Amen. God's not mad at us. He loves us. Amen? He loves the world. Now, with all that being said, God hates sin so much. You know it, I know it. He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, to take it. It says in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. These three verses, please don't forget what you used to be. Amen? What we were. Listen, God didn't have to choose you. Do you know that? Jesus didn't have to die for you. He didn't have to die for me. Of his own volition, he did. Amen? There wasn't anything special in us. Oh, look at Bill. I got to have that boy. No, believe me. You see, that, verses 1, 2, 3, that, according to the old song, that great spiritual hymn, you know, that, well, it's the way we were. Remember that song? Memory, you know. Pressed between the pages of my mind. Oh, never mind. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the way we were. Good old Barbara Streisand. Remember that? If you don't know Durant, you don't know her either. So, you know. No, listen. Here's the good news. That is the way we were, but we can never be like that again. Never. Absolutely never. Yes, we were dead in trespasses and sins. Yes, we were controlled, dominated by the world, loving the world, all of those things. Yes, we were sons of disobedience. And yes, we were children of wrath, but we aren't anymore. Why? Well, see, that's not the end of the story. There are two great conjunctions in these verses. The first one is verse 1, and, but boy, in verse 4, that other conjunction, a divine conjunction from heaven. And that is the word, but. Look at it with me. It says, oh, but God, not you, not the government, not religion, not working for it, but God, who is rich, exhaustless, unlimited in his mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Look when he loved us. Look carefully, loved one. When did he love us? Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Loved one, he made us alive. We who were spiritually dead, he made alive. Amen? By grace, you've been saved. Listen to me. I was going to bring my tambourine out for that one because that is a tambourine moment. Amen? God loves spiritually dead people. He is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God wants everyone saved. Everyone. Man, I think about the goodness of God. Man, and you know what? This morning, you know, maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you're visiting with us, or maybe you're listening online. I don't know, but I'll tell you something. If you're here and Jesus Christ is not your Lord, I love you. But listen to me. I can't lie. I believe God's word. You're dead. Do you understand? I don't care. You are dead. You're dominated by the wicked one, whether you believe it or not. You're going through activities of living or life, but you do not possess eternal life. You are totally, completely estranged from God, alienated from God, away from the promise of God. As it says later in Ephesians, you have no hope, nothing, because you're apart from God. But you don't have to be. Jesus said in John 5:24, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes. You know, faith is what activates the word of God in our hearts, what activates the spirit of God. He says, oh, who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has, present tense, has right now, everlasting life. Shall not come into the judgment, the great white throne judgment. You'll never stand there for your sins because Jesus paid for them all. And listen carefully now to those who believe, but has already passed from death, spiritual death. Think about that. I'm dead in trespasses and sins. But the moment you believe in Jesus, you're past out of death, out of spiritual death, into life, meaning God's life, God's endless life, as our heads are bowed. And every Christian praying, loved one, listen, if that is you, if you've never, ever said, Jesus Christ, be my Lord, save me, this is your time, this is your moment, you may never have the opportunity again. If you don't know Christ, you need to do it now. You don't need to get out of your chair, but here's what you need to do. You need to lift your hand in the air that I can see it. And then you just put it right back down. And I'm going to pray for you. Anyone here this morning, you say, Bill, Jesus is not, God bless you, I see that hand. Anyone says, Jesus is not my, God bless you, sir, I see that hand. That says, Jesus is not my Lord, I want to be saved. I don't want to be dead anymore. I want to be made alive. There's someone. I know there's another. I feel it in my spirit. Oh, please, I beseech you, if that's you, would you lift your hand? God bless you, sir. God bless you. Those that lifted your hands, listen to me now. We're going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray that prayer with me. In church, help me out as I pray. Father, today, I want to be made alive. Because I'm dead in trespasses and sins. I don't want to be dominated and controlled by the world. I want to be ruled by Jesus. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. Father, your word promises, if I confess Jesus as my Lord and believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, you said you would save me. I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm going to pass out of death into life. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved.
Thanks, everyone, for listening with us today. Pastor Bill will be back on Monday to continue his Ephesians series, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We hope you have a great weekend, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.